From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
In these Crossbreed Holster studios with you. How the heck are you today? Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms, and happy Mother's Day to all you single dads. We're all in this together, right? Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, all of you. I hope you had a wonderful day today. I truly do. I did, and I know my wife did, and I hope you did. I hope your family had a great day today. I hope you celebrated as well. You should have. Lots to cover with you today. We're going to move very, very quickly on this broadcast today. The lineup is gigantic. It's enormous. It's ginormous. I'm going to start off in just a couple moments telling you my first guest. But before I do that, following my first guest in segment two, David Kodria will be here. We will be discussing briefly Bob Owens, Bearing Arms editor, who took his life last week. We'll talk about that with David for just a moment. The second half of this hour, it's going to be a good one. It actually stems from a social media thread that I saw going back and forth, a very friendly debate between Alexander Rubian, the head of the New Jersey Second Amendment Society, you know Alexander from being on the show many times, and our great friend and my go-to trainer here, Rob Pincus, about how to handle a traffic stop. We have a real-life scenario to tell you about there. There was some disagreement on that thread. We're going to bring it to you. Both have agreed to come on to talk about it. It's going to be a fantastic half hour. Hour two, Breitbart News. AWR Hawkins, my political analyst, will be here. So much to cover with AWR, we just simply won't get to it. And then in hour three, I bring you back Legal Ease with the Law of Self-Defense. Andrew Branca will be here, and a lot to cover with Andrew. Now, let me get started with my first guest. My first guest is representing Rock River Arms. Those of you plugged into what's happening, or if you listen to my daytime show, heard me talk a little bit about Rock River Arms at Springfield Armory and a bill moving through the Illinois legislature, an anti-gun piece of legislation. There is a website running a number of stories, not friendly to both companies. And I told you on the daytime program that I couldn't cut through the fog on this, and I really couldn't. I've taken no position here, but what I have said is that these two companies, Rock River Arms and Springfield, have the right to be heard by the gun community. And I have offered Rock River Arms and Springfield, and right now Rock River Arms joins me, Sarah Larson, and this is unchallenged. You have a right to hear what Rock River has to say with all of the negative press out there if you're reading some of these websites. Sarah Larson, welcome to the show today, and thank you so much for being here. You ready to get started? Sean, can I hear Sarah? I can't hear Sarah.
Hello?
There we go. Hi, Sarah. How are you? Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it very much. You ready to roll?
Yes, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. The honor's mine. All right. Can I read your statement quickly? Is that okay? Can I run through that real fast?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Statement from Rock River Arms dated 5-2. After further review, Rock River Arms, Inc. is immediately severing all ties with the Illinois Firearms Manufacturers Association. That's the IFMA. We feel that IFMA's integrity is compromised, and we will not be a part of the organization. We trusted that contributions and resources provided to IFMA by Rock River Arms were being used to promote and uphold our Second Amendment values. IFMA's actions have destroyed that trust. For more than 20 years, RRA has actively opposed gun control legislation at the local, state, and federal levels. We have supported and provided monetary and product donations to multiple pro-gun organizations, including NRA, NSSF, ISRA, and countless others. We have attended rallies and spoken at educational events on behalf of gun owners' rights. Our employees have collected signatures, written letters and emails, called legislators' offices, as well as attended events, meetings, and hearings in Springfield, Illinois. What we learned, however, was that we are better at manufacturing firearms and accessories than playing political games at the state capitol. So we began to utilize the services of lobbyists, first through other organizations, and then in 2009, we partnered with several other manufacturers to form IFMA. Prior to our further review, we believe that the organization had accurately represented us. We feel that IFMA's actions have compromised its integrity. while their actions may be standard practices at the Capitol, backdoor politics and convoluted deal-making are counter to the way we do business and lead our lives. I sincerely apologize for my lack of direct engagement in IFMA's governance and subsequent actions, as well as the abandonment gun owners are feeling. If you have any questions regarding or need more information about this statement or RRA's position, please contact Sarah Larson, general manager, and then there's the phone number, and that is from Chuck Larson, president owner, Rock River Arms. I read that statement on my daytime show, and I think you guys deserve the opportunity to be heard. Take it away.
Thank you, Mark. And unfortunately, the situation we have at hand right now really boils down to a small so-called gun rights activist website who brought partial truth information forward, taking the majority of information out of context. These so-called activists make it sound like Rock River Arms and Springfield Armory were always entirely IFMA and must know and have control over all actions taken, when in reality, we were not always entirely IFMA, and we did not have control over all actions that were being taken. IFMA acted autonomously on our behalf, looking out for what they thought was our best interests, and they actually did so very well for many years. For example, after Sandy Hook, there was no anti-gun legislation in Illinois when there very likely could have been. Concealed carry was pushed through just a few years ago as well. Nearly the same bill was held over our heads last year, and it was killed in January. An assault weapons ban bill was also killed earlier this year, along with countless other anti-gun legislations over the years. IFMA was a large part of all of these. And remember, this is Illinois. Illinois is a largely Democratic state where it takes working with, dare I say, Democrats to get things done sometimes. I can't get into all the details of the politics that much, though, as this is still obviously a very real threat. But having a basic understanding of politics and using simple logic, one can really understand that sometimes certain actions must be taken to press forth objectives and achieve results. This is nothing new, and it certainly happens in every state. Illinois is no different. Additionally, there's a lot of speculation that Rock River Arms failed to support the Second Amendment through other pro-gun organizations such as NRA, NSSF, or ISRA, when in reality, we have always worked with these organizations in the past, and we still do today. Jay Keller, our ex-lobbyist, I guess I should say, was even brought to us by these organizations, and he came highly recommended to us as the guy to get things done. And he certainly has done that over the last 8 years, as I mentioned a few things previously that he has helped us take care of. He has worked closely with the NRA, NSSF, and ISRA on a daily basis throughout his career, and we had no reason to doubt that he wasn't continuing to work to the best of his ability and also seeking advice of these other organizations along the way. But, unfortunately, he can no longer continue. Instead, we were left with partial truths and fake news that are continuously driving wedges between the different elements of our firearms community. Now, rather than working together, we are all working against one another. And how can, I guess I just don't understand, how can one call oneself a Second Amendment activist when all they do is take information out of context, present half-truths, and purposefully, create conflict within the firearms community. I'm really appalled at how many people are so quick to jump on to the bandwagon and to just believe single-sourced information and fail to obtain the tax before they just join in and perform a full-bore execution on two companies such as Rock River and Springfield, who are stuck in the middle with no history of such behavior as they are accusing us of. We've never done anything like this before, and we certainly didn't intend to do it now. We weren't involved with the decisions that were being made, not directly involved, and we learned about it at the same time everybody else did. Rock River Arms has said it before, will continue to say it. We are 100% pro-Second Amendment and 100% opposed to Senate Bill 1657. We are here fighting with all of you in Illinois. We always have been. I will repeat this over and over. We must stay unified and continue to fight for our gun rights. We cannot continue to allow a small group of so-called Second Amendment activists drive wedges and spread fake news to our firearms communities, or we most certainly will fail, as we are seeming to do today, because everybody just seems to be fighting one another. We need to join forces and please fight together to oppose Senate Bill 1657. Without doing so, we will certainly fail.
Sarah, I appreciate you coming on here and making the statements that you've made. I really do. And I'm glad to have been able to provide the forum for you to do that. That went right to the end of the segment, and I know you're very busy. It's Mother's Day, and I want to let you go. And I'm glad you came on to do that. If anybody out there has any questions for me, please reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org, and I will be more than happy to follow up with you and get that information to you, Sarah, for questions that come into me based on what you told us here today. As I said on my daytime show, cutting through this now, I don't even know if it's going to be possible. And that's why I wanted you to have a forum to be able to come on here and bring your statement more than just what was put out there as the official statement from Rock River Arms. Sarah Larson, Rock River Arms, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day to you. We'll be right back with David Kodria right after this.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. All right, Shancho, cut that for a second.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Sitting in these Crossbreed Holster studios with you again, moving very, very quickly. I want to mention one thing before I go to David Kodria, good friend and longtime contributor and great guest on the show. What you heard from Rock River Arms, I'm thrilled to be able to bring that segment to you. I truly am, and I'm glad that they responded favorably to come on. I'm glad they came on and had their voice heard. You know, in today's day and age, you can find all the crap you want online, written by who knows anonymous sources, sitting behind masks, living in basements. No website was mentioned, and I'm not going to mention the website. It really doesn't make any difference. That's not the point. The point is that the stories are out there, the very negative stories about two venerable companies being Rock River Arms and Springfield Armory, and Rock River Arms. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a pro-gun radio show with a pro-rights audience, a pro-gun rights audience, who might be hearing the fog. And you have a right to hear from them, and they have a right to be heard. I'm not Fox News here. I'm not going to say that's not my function here. My function was to give them a voice, to let them be heard, and you can make up your own minds because you're smart enough to hopefully cut through the fog. Now, I don't know, you know, now you can go get both sides. You can go back and listen to this, and you can do what you want, and you can make decisions on your own. And I'm glad they came on. And I'm looking forward to being able to bring Springfield on as well. So I want to thank Sarah for coming on and taking up some of her time on Mother's Day to do that here on this monster broadcast heard in hundreds of cities on nearly 200 radio stations, 177 digital cable outlets, and so forth. And I'm glad we were able to do that. So there you go. All right, David Kodria, how you doing, brother? Always a pleasure to have you here. WarOnGuns.com. Let me get that site out there now. Let's talk briefly about Bob Owens, the community. I've talked about this throughout the week on my daytime show. Of course, the editor at BearingArms.com took his own life about a week ago and shocked the gun rights community and all of us and those of us who knew him well. It was a blow to all of us. David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mark, thank you. It's always a pleasure to join you on the program. It's just a shame that we have to discuss such a sad topic. You know, today is Mother's Day. You alluded to it in your opening statement. And we get a chance to gather with our families, with our wives, with our mothers, with our children. And there is a mother and there are two children right now who are in horror today. And so above everything else, the human factor, what a very sad, sad thing these people now are forced to go in and live with and the horror that they're going through. I just can't express. You know, all you have to do is think how much you love your own family, and you just shake your head.
Yeah, and I think it's important listeners know, you got this news from me.
Yeah.
In a phone call.
You called me. I was totally oblivious. I was coming in from another event with my family, I think, and I had a message from you on the phone saying, call me, doesn't matter how late it is, we got to talk about this, and you'd assume that I knew about it. But no, I was off, you know, oblivious, doing whatever. And, you know, Mark, there's just been a lot of speculation going on that kind of bothers me. A lot of people trying to come up with reasons why, and I think that's human. You know, we want to try to understand why. And I think that from knowing Bob's work, what we have to do is we have to take him at his word. And at his word in his final statement, here is a man who is having trouble reconciling something, we don't know what, and who chose that the path that he would take, knowing the horror that would be left behind, and also, and this sounds very selfish, but knowing what this would leave for the gun community and the opening that this would leave for the anti-gunners to exploit. Of course, we have seen some of that. Fortunately, not a lot. If you take a look at Google and the search results for Bob Owen, you will not see a lot of publications that are really taking full advantage of what they could be taking advantage of. But then again, we see left in comments on social media and things like that, some incredibly cruel comments.
Some of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Mark, we also discussed this, that Bob had to, some part of him had to know that this would be one of the results of his actions. Certainly not as important of a result as to his family, but this is something that the entire pro-gun community now almost has been put on the defensive about. And in a way, you know, we have to keep perspective on this. Imagine had someone from the anti-gun community done something similar. We would have written about it. Look, I remember several years ago when Philip Seymour Hoffman, the actor, died of a drug overdose. And I wrote a story basically saying what a hypocrisy it was for him to be out there doing anti-gun commercials for Bloomberg. And after it was published, it was no sooner published, within minutes I saw on Drudge that he had overdosed and died. And within a day or so, Bob Owens wrote an article about that, about how I wrote that article and about how Philip Seymour Hoffman then died unbeknownst to me, and it was sudden. And Bob acknowledged that there was hypocrisy in a man basically being against the right to keep and bear arms and then being part and parcel of this culture of death that caused so much or that was, the basis for so much violent crime. So Bob understood the repercussions of this, okay? And so we can't – I'm not sure what I'm saying, Mark. You know, you and I have had this discussion before, and it's basically something that's just – very, very tragic. And by the same token, we have to understand that those of us who have a voice, and maybe it's cruel to say, we have a special responsibility to the community to understand the impact that our actions are going to have on the rest of the community. Does that sound overly harsh?
No, it doesn't sound overly harsh. Look, we can't shy away from the fact that Bob Owens took his life, very pro-rights individual, a man that I counted on for a number of different things. You know, he was one of my go-to sources on a daily basis. When you sit in front of this microphone every day and you're mining for information, these are the people that you're reading daily, all day long, including yourself, Bob Owens, and a number of others that I go to. And Bob played a large part of that for me. And I am very thankful that I had the opportunity to talk with him and introduce him to my family a week prior to this tragic event when I, like many, many others, saw him at the National Rifle Association meetings in Atlanta. I bumped into him for dinner with Stephen Gutowski and Jen Jakes, also good friends of mine, and I had the opportunity to sit a couple tables over when there was about 30 or 40 of us in there in the room for dinner, and I had an opportunity to hug Bob and talk with him briefly. And I bumped into him, I think, one more time on the floor. I forget what day. It was a very busy 3 days, but I did see him again after that before he took off. I think he left a little bit early. But I'm thankful, and at the same time, I'm angry. As most of us are, we go through this grieving process. Now, we're going to run out of time, David. I hate to do that to you. I've got to get into the next two segments. But the long-winded talk radio host way of saying, no, you said it absolutely properly. And the bottom line is we try to wrap our heads around this, and I don't think we ever will be able to. So I'll leave it at this. Well said. And thank you for coming on and saying some kind words about Bob Owens. I appreciate it. I know the community does as well. Thank you, David, for everything, okay?
Take care, Mark.
All right. GoFundMe, Bob Owens. Look it up. You'll find everything. Please help the family on this Mother's Day and beyond. We'll be back right after this with Alexander Rubian and Rob Pickens. Do not miss this one.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
All right, welcome back to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. This is a good one. I'm going to jump in. You heard me mention my two guests, those of you who might just be joining us coming in from this break at the bottom of the hour. Alexander Rubien, the head of the New Jersey Second Amendment Society, will be here. I mean, he's already here. He's listening. I'll go to him in just a moment and then follow up with Rob Pincus. You know Rob Pincus for many years on this broadcast. Good friend of mine, good friend of yours. Both men are. The following post popped up on social media, on Facebook. I read it. I bring it to you and immediately ask both of these gentlemen here. I want you to take a listen to this. I'm from New Jersey, officer. This morning at 7:18 a.m. while driving through South Carolina, I was pulled over with another car. I did what my police friends told me. Hands on the wheel, keys and paperwork on dashboard. After speaking to the other car, the officer came to my window and asked me why I was speeding. I stated I was unaware that I was allegedly speeding. By the way, this is a trap to admit to guilt. Anyway, he followed up with asking me if I had any weapons in the car. I responded with, I politely declined to answer any questions. He looked at me, walked around to the driver's side door, and asked I unlock my door. And he is detaining me for my own safety because I am acting suspicious
and he needs to cuff me while he figures things out. Laugh out loud. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I get cuffed, and he walks me to the front of his car and persists to ask if I have drugs, C4, alcohol, etc. C4 is an explosive, by the way. You've seen cops, right? Any guns, grenades, bazookas, you've seen that. There's a reason they ask that, by the way. Continuing, I said the same thing. Despite probably never being challenged, he still kept his professional composure and finally asks me, any reason you do not want to answer any questions? Despite the fact I have the right to remain silent, I responded by saying, I'm from New Jersey. His head tilted and he asked what that was supposed to mean. In a Jeffersonian manner, I professed for a good 10 minutes the tyrannical climate and government we live under, and for my protection, I prefer not to speak to any government agents. He looked at me, shook his head, and said, seriously, that is really happening? I gave countless examples while he just shook his head in sadness. He took the cuffs off, shook my hand, and said, forget about the ticket and let me and the other car go. You welcome, other person. Thank you, other person who was pulled over. Looking back, I would pay anything to take a photo of the family's face from seeing me in cuffs to almost making the cop cry. Despite still feeling uneasy about being cuffed, just because I exercised my constitutional rights, I would never do it any other way. And yes, I will be requesting the body cam and dash cam videos from the department. That was written by Alexander Rubian, who joins me now from New Jersey. Alexander, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me back on, Mark.
Did I miss anything on that? I read your post. Is there anything you want to add to that?
The irony here is I'm driving down to Florida, and my goal was to make a documentary while I conceal carry to push for national concealed carry. And to talk about how in certain states my Florida license does not have reciprocity and so forth. That means I have to stop my car a mile before I get to the border of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, whatever the states are, and either load or unload my firearm. Just as that was happening, as I was driving through South Carolina, I said, you know what? Because my Florida license actually has reciprocity even as an out-of-state permit holder, but South Carolina does not give reciprocity. And this is where a lot of people get stuck in the pickle. And I said, let me just not take the chances, and I'm going to unload because it was only one state. Thank God I decided to do that, because if I did get pulled over, and he did ultimately, you know, check me out and inspect if I have any type of weapons or anything like that, you know, I would have been arrested, and I would have been serving probably up to 10 years in prison for this.
And, all right, let me stop you right there, Alexander, in the essence of time. We have you for two segments, but I want to bring Rob in quickly, okay? Rob. Welcome to the program, brother, as usual. Everybody, Rob Pincus, you know Rob Pincus for many years. Here's a response that I saw from Rob. And I knew the minute I saw Rob jump in here, I knew what Rob was going to say, because I've had these conversations, Rob, with you many, many times. We've gotten ourselves in trouble in forums back years ago. But, Rob, your response was exactly the reason I don't ever recommend refusing to answer questions. You make yourself look guilty. As soon as you were honest and open with him, he realized you weren't a threat and you were on your way. I think you learned the wrong lesson here. And then the chat between you two continued. And I gotta say, man, in a great civil way, that's what I love, the civil discourse. That's why I wanted to bring it to the airwaves. Rob, welcome to the show. What do you say? Let's go ahead and bring Rob. There you go. Rob, go ahead.
Hey. All right, here we are. Like, just good to meet you guys. From my perspective, we've educated a lot of people about how to interact with law enforcement while armed. Alexander wasn't legally able to be armed in South Carolina, so he was transporting a firearm. And I think that a lot of the same rules and guidelines apply to be cooperative with law enforcement. And so my policy and what I explain to people is always to be cooperative with the police officer. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to fear. And, I think that's what that conversation brought out, as other people chimed in, as other people expressed their opinions. And it was a good discussion. I think a lot of people expressed fear that even if they were doing the right thing, that just being associated with a firearm or transporting a firearm or carrying a firearm legally was going to put them into this perception of being a criminal or doing something wrong. And from my opinion, both from a concealed carry perspective and from a law enforcement perspective, it's not cooperating that's much more to make you look like a criminal than following the law and explaining to the officer that you are following the law.
Okay, I got to throw this out here because I know it's going to pop up, and I know somebody's thinking the same thing I thought. And again, not anything we haven't talked about in the past. But what if the question was, hey, I you're acting kind of funny here. I'd like permission to search your car. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong, and I have a right to say, no, I don't want you to search my vehicle. I'm not being detained. And saying no might make me look guilty because that cop knows most people say no have something to fear, and you don't have anything to fear. Well, how about you don't – I'm not doing anything wrong. How about just come in my house too? I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole a whole different bunch of ways for the Fourth Amendment. Now, let me go take this over back to Alexander. Alexander, I knew exactly where this conversation was going to go because I've had it with Rob in the past. And my initial reaction to what I saw was exactly what Rob said. However, there's a caveat. I know where you live. I'm familiar with Brian Aitken's story, and I know what can happen in New Jersey if you tell the truth. Please jump in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Exactly. That is exactly the point. And I just need to clarify that exercising your rights not to be questioned by the government for no reason is not suspicion. That's patriotism. And the fact that I had to take a crapshoot with my life and liberty with a government agent that might arbitrarily say, and this happened. There was an instance where a woman was transporting a firearm, and they said, well, you know what? Your box your firearm is being transported in a cardboard container, not a hard plastic or metal container. And the woman was actually arrested and is fighting the legal battle. And, you know, I might be innocent, but I shouldn't have to spend $30,000, $50,000 and take the risk of maybe serving up to 10 years in prison just because some government agent is either having a good day or a bad day. You know, and as you mentioned, where do you draw the line? I don't have anything to hide in my household. That doesn't mean I should let the government come in and just do unwarranted searches just because they feel like it. You know, the fact of the matter is that I should not take a crapshoot. You know, he set me up as a trap, asking me on camera to admit to guilt of speeding, which I don't, you know, I may or may not have been doing. And you know what? I'm from New Jersey. I try to warn others of the tyrannical government that we come from. Our organization, we represent many people all the time that have made no mistakes, have tried to cooperate with police officers and to put them in jail. I'm not taking that risk.
All right, Rob, let me jump back over to you. We're going to get ready to take a break here, so I want to set this up. I understand where he's coming from, and you know the tyrannical government in New Jersey. And I know from the thread here that you understood where he was coming from. However, I've been stopped in Georgia. I've been stopped in Florida. I've been stopped in North Carolina. I don't think I've ever been stopped in South Carolina, but it wouldn't matter. If I'm lawfully carrying my firearm and my permit is good in that state, I've always recommended that cooperate with the officer, tell them that you have a firearm because you aren't breaking any laws. And I think that's what you were saying, too, because even though Alexander, his permit wasn't good, he did the right thing and had the gun stored in the trunk, so it wasn't a hassle and it was legal. Now, we're getting ready to take a break, so I just wanted to set that up with you there. When we come back, I want to go right back to you, Rob, and pick it up from where he left off because you were born in New Jersey. You know a lot about that state, and you travel through there back and forth in your travels on your PDN tour. And you also have some information out about stops with law enforcement. Great conversation. Rob Pincus from Personal Defense Network will get the microphone when we come back to rebut what we just heard from Alexander. We'll be back on Armed American Radio, the monster broadcast in the Crossbreed Holster studios right after this.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Filling your prescription for freedom. Here's the host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
All right, back in these Crossbreed Holster studios with you. Joey, right back over to Rob Pincus. Rob, I want you to take the mic away. Your response to what I queued up and teed up for you at the end of the last segment.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. First, you know, we can do the what if, what if the government representatives, the local police officers knock on your door and say, hey, can we come in and search your house? And you can stand there and you can say, I decline to cooperate, I decline to have a conversation with you, and I need to have a lawyer present. Or you can say, why would you want to do that, officer? And you can have a conversation. And I think there's a difference between putting up a wall and saying that you're not going to talk, you're not going to cooperate, and saying, no, you can't search my car, can I ask why you'd like to? And there's a different response level, and I think a different interaction you're going to have with law enforcement. There's a concept called criminal patrol, where certainly police officers are going to pull you over for a traffic violation, and then they're going to ask you questions and gauge based on your behavior and based on what they see when they look in your car, what they find out when they run your license, whether or not there's actual other criminal activities besides the broken taillight or the speeding violation. But to suggest that when a police officer pulls you, I don't know anybody who drives up. Maybe, Alexander, maybe you were going the speed limit on 95. I don't go to speed limit on I-95. I don't know anybody who drives the speed limit on I-95. That you're going to be over 5, you're going to be over 10, you're going to be over 3. And if an officer asks you why you were speeding, I don't think it's entrapment or any kind of trick by a tyrannical government to ask you that question. If you know you're going 70 and the speed limit 65, I think moving with the flow of traffic, I knew I was going a few miles an hour over, is the kind of answer they expect. Not to be told that she declined to have a conversation with him. As for the woman with the metal box versus or a plastic box versus cardboard box, if the letter of the law, and if you're a responsible firearms owner, the letter of the law says you need to have a hard plastic case or a metal box, and you put your gun in a cardboard box, you're in violation of the law. And that may be a mistake. It may be an honest mistake, but it's not a tyrannical government gone rogue to prosecute the letter of the law.
Alexander, jump back in here. Let me say, I want to interject here, because every time I've gotten a speeding ticket, I was speeding. With one exception, but that's a long story. But the fact of the matter is, let's just say 4 out of 5 times I've gotten a speeding ticket, I was speeding, and I knew I was speeding. And my interactions with law enforcement have always been good. Even if the cop was in a bad mood, I've always had good interactions with law enforcement, so it hasn't been an issue. Alexander, jump back in. I want you to respond to that.
Well, the fact of the matter is that not speaking to the government is not an admission of guilt, nor does it make you – the reality is it's insane to think that in America today that by not talking to the government, that's automatically going to make us look guilty and that we should somehow just start speaking to them. You know, I was, going 85. I had my speed control on to 85 the whole way. You know, even after talking to the police officer after, you know, he was like, well, we got a lot of people trafficking drugs from different states through, this corridor. And, we kind of have to take precautions. Which they do. And that's another part that we have to discuss is I get it. I mean, they deal with scum of the scum every single day, but. Now, does that mean that they should pull every single person that has an out-of-state license plate and automatically think that, maybe they're smuggling drugs? And it was 7:30 in the morning, it was a fact of the matter. But, I guess there's 2 points here as well. A, the way the cop was blown away by what goes on in New Jersey, because he seemed like a very reasonable guy. He would have probably checked my trunk, seen I was complying with the law, and I would have gone my merry way. Unfortunately, I don't feel that that's the responsible thing to do, that I should just allow the government to come into my vehicle without a permit or a warrant, to inspect and give me some arbitrary feelings about what they think I'm transporting, if I'm transporting it correctly. Another big issue that people don't ever talk about is in New Jersey, they consider loaded magazines a loaded firearm, to say that how arbitrary that is. And, as I mentioned before, I'm not going to take a crapshoot. I wasn't breaking the law. I wasn't going to invite the government to my vehicle or my home or anything else. I wasn't going to answer any questions. And just because I wasn't answering any questions, suddenly the conversation is, well, I made myself look guilty. And that's how far we've gone in America today, where the whole foundation of this country was built on, the country not talking to the government and government abuses.
Let me throw this out there, Rob, because I know where you're going to go with this. When you talk about the cop, I don't think the cop was acting or thinking to himself, I'm the government and I'm going to talk to you. First of all, what's the speed limit on 75? Or 95, I'm sorry. 95. I haven't driven it in a long time. What's the speed limit on 95? Rob, do you know?
It varies from state to state. Alexander, what was it? Obviously not 85 where you were going, right?
It was 70 miles an hour. But
okay, so
I was in a caravan, going with, the flow of traffic between 80 to 85.
Okay. But he pulled you over. He had probable cause for that. I think you admit that that's the case. He could pull you over for going 85. He could pull you over for going 77 if he wanted to. We all agree that that's the case. Rob, please, I want to go back to you on this because, as I said, with interaction with law enforcement, in the state of South Carolina, it is not illegal to have a loaded firearm in your car without a permit. It's legal to have that gun in your car without a permit as you travel through the state of South Carolina, whether it's in the glove box or the console or under the seat, for example. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it is important to know the laws. There's a lot of great references. I always tell people if it doesn't have a state, .us, .gov, or .South Carolina, or SC, or whatever it is at the end of the website, don't trust it. But if you get the information from the state websites, there's a lot of good references out there, the U.S. concealed carry maps and things like that. They're usually up to date. But if you get the law printed out from the states you're going to be traveling from and you have that as a reference, because maybe the police officer doesn't know. Maybe the police officer is misinformed, and you may need to educate the police officer.
Right.
And yeah,
it happens.
May be given a hard time. But at the end of the day, I think that words like arbitrary mean things. It's not arbitrary to pull someone over for going 50 miles an hour over the limit. It's not arbitrary for a police officer to enforce the transportation laws. It's not arbitrary to define a loaded magazine as a loaded gun legally. Was it wrong? Is it silly? Yeah, but it's not just willy-nilly made-up stuff, right? It is the law, and you know that, so you follow the law, or you take your chances. And I think that you know, Alexander, I don't know that you have any direct law enforcement experience or training, but I can tell you that from you say how far we've come, I have to think that small town America in the 1950s, people weren't afraid to talk to the local cop. I have to think that, growing up, I was raised to, cooperate and speak with police officers. I, as a police officer, found that most people are very cooperative and, speak to police officers unless they're nervous, unless they have something to hide, unless they're, you know, fearful, distrustful for some reason. And, I get it. Living in New Jersey can very well be that reason that so many people in that thread are using to justify their fear of talking to police officers. But it, it's not – I don't think it's fair to say – that it shouldn't be the perception of a police officer that someone who doesn't want to cooperate with him is something potentially other than just a, Jeffersonian patriot.
All right, let me jump in here, Alexander, because Brian Aitken did exactly what Rob is suggesting to do and found himself in a New Jersey penitentiary.
For 7 years.
Having to have his commute for 7 years, okay? So believe me, I understand that. I get that. And, that's why I think this conversation is fascinating, and I really
He was in the penitentiary for 4 months, and his sentence was commuted, and he was
correct.
I believe, found not guilty, or his convictions were overturned. And there was a lot of complexity to that moment. It's not like he was pulled over for speeding, and he was legally transporting guns.
That's true.
Penitentiary.
That's true. And, hey guys, I got to stop it there, Alexander. We're glad everything worked out for you, and you know what? The cop in South Carolina learned a lesson as well, too. No doubt about it. Because of your actions. Rob, listeners got an education from you, both sides. You know, you got to know the laws where you're at. It's up to you. Don't find yourself in any trouble. Here's the best advice in the world. Slow down, and it won't be an issue. That's a fact. Hey, when we come back, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News is going to be here, and guess what? Oh, and by the way, I'm guilty of that on multiple occasions, too, so I'm not preaching to the choir there. I've been pulled over for speeding myself too, and the guy had every right to pull me over because I was in fact speeding. So, you know, I give myself that own advice. When we come back, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. Remember, in the meantime, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Don't find yourself in a gun-free zone.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.